So Psalm 128, here's what it says. How happy is everyone, or how blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. It says this, you will surely eat what your hands have worked for. You will be happy and it will go well for you. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like young olive trees around your table. In this very way, the man who fears the Lord will be blessed. Everybody say blessed. May the Lord bless. Everybody say bless. Bless you from Zion so that you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life, and will see your children's children. Peace be with you. Verse 4, it says this. In this very way, the man or the woman who fears the Lord will be blessed. Just by show of hands, how many of y'all want to experience God's blessings in your life? Like for real? Like you want God's blessing? Hey, can you tell the person that you're standing next to, tell them, hey neighbor, I got a message for you. There's levels to this. Come on, find somebody else across the room and say, hey neighbor, I see you. There's levels to this. Come on, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your favor and grace. We thank you, God, for your word. Would you speak to us now in a way that will impact us, help us to move from one place to a greater place. Lord, we thank you for your word. Let it not fall upon deaf ears. Let it not fall upon dull hearts, but let it fall upon hearts and ears that are ready to hear and receive what you have. In Jesus' name, and every person said amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go to your seat for all that God has done. Amen. There's levels to this. Now, church family, I want to begin our time today sharing a quote that I recently found and recently heard from very well-known Christian writer and author who lived some time ago by the name of C.S. Lewis. He says this, and I believe that this is a consequential statement and quote that I want us to understand for today. He says that obedience is the key that opens every door. Obedience is the key that opens every door. And from the outset, what he's suggesting is that there are certain doors that only open because of our obedience to God. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like I've been, but how many of y'all here, by show of hands, have ever tried to unlock a door only to discover that you had the wrong key? Some of y'all, I can see it right now, you were fighting with the door, and you were about to break the doorknob. Look, look, some of us got real angry and self-righteous, said, this door is not working. But in all actuality, there was nothing wrong with the door. There was something wrong with the key that you had. That it wasn't the right key, if you will. And while many of us understand that from a literal sense, I believe that there are many what I would call metaphorical doors that we are maybe trying to walk through. But the question is, what doors are we trying to open in our life, but we are using the wrong keys in life? I wonder what doors we are trying to walk through. I wonder what places we are trying to step in. I wonder what places we are trying to go, what heights we are trying to climb. But instead of using the proper key, we are actually using the wrong key. I wonder if some of our frustrations that we have in life right now, and maybe why our life is not progressing at the level and at the speed and at the intensity that we want it to, is simply because we are trying to use the wrong keys to access it. And if what C.S. Lewis says is true, and I believe it is, there are certain things that obedience gets you that other things don't. Parents, you and I can identify with this in here, because you know that when it comes to rearing your children, there are certain things that you will not allow your children to experience unless they are first following instructions. Can I get a good amen? There are certain things that we could potentially be missing out on because of one word, obedience, or maybe the lack thereof. Which brings us here to Psalm 128. Because here in Psalm 128, if you'll notice in your Bible, in the margins or in the heading of this particular psalm, Psalm 128 is considered to be in this category of a song or a psalm. That's what psalm means, as we've said these past few weeks. The word psalm means song, as a song of ascent. That word ascent means to go higher. It means to go to another level. It means to elevate. It means to raise. It means to go from one place to a higher place. And the reason why this was called a song of ascent is because the people in the Old Testament, God's people specifically, oftentimes, as they were making their way to a central place by the name of Jerusalem to worship God, multiple times throughout the course of the year, many believed that they would be going up to Jerusalem. That was the language that was oftentimes used to describe their journey to Jerusalem. We're going up to Jerusalem. In other words, we're going to a higher place. And it's interesting because what the psalm writer starts off this psalm by saying is this: how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. And I believe, family, that to appreciate this fully, we have to first consider the opposite of this verse. That while it is true, how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, I believe the inverse could also be true. That instead of people being happy as a result of following the Lord, that not following the Lord does not lead to happiness. That instead of following the Lord, that leads to a blessing or leads to blessings or leads to happiness, as the scripture says, instead of being how happy is everyone who fears the Lord, we could almost say the opposite: how mad, how frustrated, how stressed, how confused, how anxious are those who don't fear the Lord. Because to fear in this context, it does not mean to be afraid in the sense of a horror movie. We're not talking about Freddy Krueger. We're not talking about Jason. We're not talking about Michael Myers. We're not talking about A Quiet Place. The word fear here in this context, it means to revere or to give the highest honor to. So what the writer is saying is that how happy are those who give the highest honor to God? They will be blessed, which means the opposite is true. When I don't give the highest honor to God, I don't walk in happiness and blessings. I walk in hurt and brokenness. And quite often, if we're honest, many people live life going their own way, following their own direction. Here's what the Bible says in Proverbs 14:12. There is a way. Everybody say, a way. There is a way that seems right to a person. In other words, the writer is saying a lot of people think they know what they're supposed to be doing with their life, but its end is the way to death. In other words, you and I think we know what we're doing, but in all actuality, we don't. And it leads to destruction. And it may not lead to a physical death. Sometimes it can, but it could lead to the death of a relationship. It could lead to the death of a career. It could lead to the death of some joy. It could lead to the death of some happiness, whatever the case may be. He says, the person who thinks that they are going down the right path in their own strength, it seems right to them, but it ends to death. The principle that this helps us to begin to see is that when we are following not the Lord's ways, but following our own ways, doing our own thing, it doesn't lead to happiness and blessings. I know the statement of culture is, just do you. Family, doing me will get me in a lot of trouble. We've heard the saying, follow your feelings. Can I help you understand something? No. But pastor, my feelings are real. Can I give you some theological truth? Just because your feelings are real does not mean they are right. Amen. I just feel. Just because you feel don't make it right. I just feel like slashing their tires. That don't make it right. I just feel like going to my boss and giving them a piece of my mind. You can feel that way and be unemployed right after. Because there is a way that seems right to a person, but it ends in destruction. And can we be honest? How many of us, I'm going to see how honest we can be here. How many of us can honestly say, I have messed up my life plenty of times because I did my own thing? By show of hands. Y'all are much more honest than 9 o'clock service. I'm proud of y'all. Because the reality is, y'all, when we go our own way, it doesn't typically lead to anything good. I'm going to tell you how Satan does. What Satan does is when you follow your own way, it works for a little while. And it looks like it's going to sustain itself. But then you eventually find out that this was counterfeit and not working from jump. Y'all, can I give you a practical example just to help us kind of see this point? I recently bought a case for my iPad, and you know, there's on Amazon, there's all these different types of cases, and you know, a lot of times these manufacturers will make cases that look similar to the original or the authentic and real case, right? So I got an iPad, and so Apple makes its own case that looks a certain way, has certain features, whatever the case might be. And when I went on Amazon, I found cases that look just like it for $8. And versus the $80 to $100 case. So do you know what I did? I bought the $8 case because I'm on a budget. I'm balling on a budget. Blessings on a budget. I said, no, this will do the trick and this will do the job. But when I got the case, and Ariel can tell you, when I got the case and put the case on my iPad, the whole case was swallowing up my iPad, and the case won't lining up with itself, and the stuff was crooked, and it's up here right now. It's all messed up. And I'm sitting here like, man, how did y'all sell this, and how y'all get away with this? And then it reminded me, this is what happens when you buy something or when you settle for something that's not real and authentic, but that's counterfeit. It looks good, and it may work, but it does not give you what you need long term. Now, some of us are like, Pastor, I'm going to rock out with that $8 case. I don't care what you say. I'm good. I'll tape it up. And that's the principle I'm trying to help us see, that when we do things our own way, it doesn't lead to anything good long term. But what's so awesome about God is that even though we've gone down the wrong path, I love this about God, He always gives us a better way that leads to a better life, not just in this life, but ultimately in the life to come. Which brings us back to verse 1. How happy, some translations say, how blessed, verse 1, Psalm 128, is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in His ways. And what this shows us from the outset is that every person, no matter your age, no matter your background, no matter your color, no matter how much money you make, no matter how much money you don't make, no matter where you live, no matter what it is that you got going on, no matter your past, no matter the decisions that you make, no matter the sin that you had in your life, every single person has the potential to experience blessings and favor and happiness and joy that God ultimately is offering to give us. I thought I would get a few more amens right there, because what this lets me know is that no matter how bad I've messed up my life, no matter how far I've gotten off track, no matter how far I've done things that were not like God, God still says, I still got something that I want to help you to experience. I still got blessings for you. I still got favor for you. Thank God that He has something for us. And I love the word here. It says everyone. Everybody say everyone. And the reason why this is so important, the reason why I want to emphasize this, is because for some of us, we have believed the lie of the enemy that you can't be blessed, that you can't experience happiness, maybe because of family history, maybe because of past mistakes, maybe because of decisions that you've made. But I'm here to let you know that where you are is not where you have to stay. God has more that He wants you to tap into. God has more that He wants you to experience. And I just want to know, is there anybody grateful here at the 11 o'clock service for the fact that God says, I got more for you on the other side of where you are, that where you are does not have to be the last place, that where you are does not have to be the only place. God has greater for you. And this psalm is an exaltation of what happens when we decide to walk according to God's way. We're going to talk more about it next week. But one of the things that we see here in this scripture is God's ways are the best ways. And I'm not saying this just because I know it to be true from Scripture. I'm saying this because I've tried it in my own life. That God's ways are the best ways. I thought certain ways were good ways, and I thought by doing it my way was the best way, but I quickly realized that my ways did not equate to anything that could fulfill and satisfy, but God's ways are the best ways. And what does it mean to walk in his ways? It comes down to this simple word that I want you to get in your heart and mind today, and it is this word, obedience. Everybody say obedience. Now, family, we live in a culture and time, even in the body of Christ, where obedience is like a cuss word in the kingdom. Because unfortunately, what's happened in today's time is people have become very legalistic, and people have misconstrued the gospel and said that in order to get salvation from God, that I got to obey God. No, salvation is freely given through by grace, through faith. All I got to do is receive it by faith. I ain't got to work for it. I ain't got to earn it. All I got to say is, God, would you save me? I believe in Jesus. I believe in what he came to do. I believe that he died on the cross for my sins. I believe that he raised back to life. Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. Jesus, I want you to be my Lord. Boom, you are part of the kingdom of God. I didn't have to work for it. I didn't have to earn it. That's why the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 9, we are saved by grace, not by works. Thank God that our salvation is not based upon whether we get it right or get it wrong. It's based upon the fact that Jesus got it right. And by receiving it by faith. However, along with that, my access to God is based upon what he has done. But my alignment with God is based upon what I do. And here's what I've recognized. You and I can have access to God through faith in Christ, but not be in alignment with him. And what I want to help us to do today is to get in alignment with God. Because when we get in alignment with God, family, it positions us to be able to experience his blessings. And the way that I get into alignment is by being obedient to his word. Here's what Psalm 119 says. How happy are those whose way is blameless and who walk according to the Lord's instruction. Happy are those who keep his decrees and seek him with all their heart. Now, some of us are looking at this first verse and they're like, Pastor, this all sounds good, but that first verse gives me some problems. How happy are those whose way is blameless? When I look at my own life, Pastor, my life ain't blameless. That's probably why I'm not happy, huh? Because I done messed up a whole lot. I done said some things I'm not proud of. Can I give us bad news and good news with this? Bad news is this. You and I cannot obey God in our own strength. You don't have the capacity to obey God in your own strength. Pastor, how can you say that? I didn't say it. The Bible says it. This is why the Bible says in Isaiah that our righteousness, our good works, are like filthy rags. And what do you do with filthy rags? You throw them away. Matter of fact, the literal translation for filthy rags in the original Hebrew language of the Old Testament is minstrel rags. It says it's not worth anything. And the Bible then says this in the New Testament, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. So for every time you got it right, 10 times more, you got it wrong. So that means you ain't blameless. Let me just ask us a question to see how honest we can be in here. If you've ever messed up, just raise your hand. Just raise your hand. If you're not raising your hand, you're lying. You just messed up right there. You just messed up. Nobody in here is blameless. So what does the writer mean? And what hope do we have if nobody is blameless? No, though we are not blameless, there was one who was blameless. And the one who was blameless had a name, and his name is Jesus Christ. And what Jesus did is he came down from heaven to earth, and he took his perfection and he traded our imperfection for his perfection, so that now any person who's in Christ is a new creature. The old has passed and the new has come. Here's what I'm trying to help us understand. When you and I were taking tests in the spiritual light, in the spirit, on our spiritual report card, the grades that we get for obeying God, for loving God, for trusting God, can I tell you what they were? Not an A, not a B, not a C, not a D minus, F. When it came to following God's word, F. When it came to being perfect in his eyes, F. When it came to loving people and not cussing them out, F, 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 F. I know for some of us in here, you're a scholar and you're a super student and you're on a dean's list and all these different types of things. Can I help you understand something? Spiritually, apart from Jesus Christ, our report card is a F. But thank God that God is like my professors back in college who would grade our report cards on a curve. Because there was plenty of times where I took the test and my grade was an F, but by the time I got that grade back and checked Leo online at ODU, that F has sometimes miraculously turned into a B. And I'm trying to figure out, how did I go from an F to a B? And the professor would tell me and tell us was that I graded it on the curve. What I did was I took the scores of the best person and I used it to your advantage. Now, to some people, they will say, that's not fair. But in the kingdom, God says, that's called grace. Because that's what Jesus did for all of us in here today. And I just want to know, is there anybody grateful for the fact that even though you were failing spiritually, you had an F here and you had an F here, but I'm so glad that God gave us the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, to forgive us of all of our sins when we trust in him. Is anybody grateful for the fact that though you were in sin, Jesus came and he forgave you of your sins? So he took you from failing to now succeeding in him. So the bad news was you and I can't obey God in our own strength, no matter how hard we try. But the good news is that because of Jesus and his ability and his grace and his forgiveness, now we can. He gives us the strength to obey now. And that strength is ultimately seen through the presence of his Holy Spirit. He gives us power to now live an obedient life to God. And here's what the Bible says in 2 Peter 1:3. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him, who is him? Jesus, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Can I let you know this? Because of Jesus, you now, when you trust in him, you have everything you need to live the life that he's called you to live. Tell the person beside you, this levels to this. Can I make this argument? You might not like it, but it's true. Many of us, myself included, are living at a level that God does not want you to live at. Because he has more for you. And what sometimes, here's what God does. Some of you are not gonna like this. Here's what God will sometimes do. He will allow some things to come in your life to disrupt your comfort level. Because some of us have become comfortable even with dysfunction and have called it normal. So he will intentionally, by his grace, send some things and allow some things to come into your life to help you to see that where you are living, I have not called you to live. I got something more for you. That even, quote unquote, if you're succeeding in this season, God says, I want to take you from glory to glory to glory. I got more for you. Which means this, if you're 65 years old in here, you don't retire, you refire when it comes to the kingdom of God. You still got purpose. Which means if you're a young person in here, no matter how much you're succeeding, God says, I got greater things that I want you to tap into. His divine power has given us everything required for life and godliness through the knowledge of him. And when we walk in obedience to God, here's what I want you to understand. Blessings follow that. Favor follows that. Here's what Proverbs 10 says. The one who follows instruction is on the path to life. And then it says this at the end of Proverbs 10:17. But the one who rejects correction goes astray. I'll read it again. The one who follows instruction is on the path to life. But the one who rejects correction goes astray. Some of us have been rejecting some of the correction that God has been trying to bring us through other people. You didn't like the package that it came in, but it was still true. And we're trying to figure out, why am I stuck? Because I'm rejecting the good word that God is trying to bring in my life. But the one who follows it is on the path to life. Can I help you understand something? Jesus in John 10 and 10, he says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. That life means, it's the Greek word zoe. It is this God type of life. It's this overachieving type of life. It's this abundant life. God says, I haven't called you to struggle all your life. Now, don't get me wrong. He says this, in this life, you'll have much trouble. But he also says, I've overcome the world. And if we follow his way, and if we follow his lead, and we follow his plan, it leads to the life that he came and promised to give us, which is why he says this in Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and everything else will be added unto you. And some of us have been trying to figure out, God, why am I not experiencing all that you have for me? He said, because you're not seeking me, you're seeking yourself. you're doing things your way. And here's what God will sometimes do. He will sometimes let you live on the level that you settle for, just to show you that you can't do it on your own. So when the writer here in verse 1 of Psalm 128 says, blessed are those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways. What are his ways? It means that I'm doing the things that God wants me to do. I'm following his word. I'm in line with his word, with his will, and also with his ways. Which means this, if every aspect, I want you to hear this, if every aspect of my life is a struggle right now, it may mean that I'm out of alignment with God in some way. Can I help us understand? Some of us have kind of heard some poor theology and poor preaching and teaching. You've heard the extremes. You know, God just wants to make you a millionaire. That's not biblical. Now, he can make you a millionaire. It's not sin if you become a millionaire. But he ain't promised to make every single person a millionaire. So that's an extreme. The other extreme is God just wants you to struggle your whole life. One is what some would call prosperity theology. The other is what some would call poverty theology. And wherever, I want you to write this down, wherever there are extremes, there are always errors. And some of us have subscribed to that train of thought that I'm just not supposed to go through anything. Well, Jesus would have a problem with that because he says in this life you will have much trouble. And some of us have subscribed to the thought that this is just going to be how my life is always is going to be. It's always going to be a struggle, and it's always going to be terrible, and I'm always going to be dealing with this, and it's always going to be less than. But Jesus said, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. And what I want us to understand here today is that God wants you to, he wants to take you to higher places, but what's connected to that is being obedient. Everybody say obedient. You know what I've recognized? I've recognized this in my own life, and I've recognized this even in years of pastoring and being in ministry for a long time. Many people are okay with Jesus being Savior, because Savior means save me from my sin, rescue me from my sin and the penalty of it, the get out of hell free card. You know, in Monopoly, it's get out of jail. By the way, can't nobody see me in Monopoly. I'm taking all your money. I just want you to know that. If you want to see your pastor go to another place, we're going to play Monopoly, and that's why I don't play Monopoly with nobody, though. I don't want nobody leaving the church off of that. But that's how we treat God. Jesus, I give you my life. Awesome. I'm not going to hell. I got it from here, Jesus. We're okay with him being Savior, but we don't want him to be Lord. Savior means I want him to save my life. Lord means I want him to lead my life. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down. He leads me to still waters. He can't lead you to still waters if you're not willing to follow him. And many of us are trying to figure out, God, why is my life so dry? Because you won't let me lead you to still waters. So as long as you keep trying to drive the car of your life, you're going to keep getting the results that you get. But if you get out of the driver's seat and get in the back seat and enjoy this journey, I'll lead you to green pastures and still waters. I got to obey. And this blessing and following God, we see this here in Psalm 128, doing things his way. And as I mentioned, it's a psalm of ascent, meaning that these people are going up to Jerusalem to worship. The principle that we want to see here is God wants to take you to new heights. He wants you to take you to, he wants to take you to higher levels. He wants to take your family to a higher level. He does want to take your marriage to a greater place. I don't care how good it is. There's more that he has for it. He does actually want to see your career go to a greater place. Not for you just to make more money, but for him to get more glory. Because some of us be out here praying these prayers, God, would you bring increase so that way, you know, I can give you the praise for it. He's like, nah, you just want more income, that's all. But when your heart is set on, not my will, let yours be done. Because what if God gives you increase on your job, but it's not for you, it's for somebody else? What if God told you to sow your whole bonus check into somebody else? What if God said, that day off that you have, I want you to use that to serve somebody? That's all about obedience, y'all. Everybody say obedience. He wants to take you higher. And here in this scripture, in Psalm 128, you see this word blessing mentioned multiple times. You even see this word prosperity. And the key to all of this is obedience. Obedience to God is the key to living on higher levels. Pastor Charles Spurgeon, great preacher for many years. Some of you may be familiar with his writings and things of this nature. Many centuries ago he lived, and he says this, obedience is the pathway to blessing. What path are you on right now? Because if we're on an obedient path, best believe blessing is going to come. Do you know how, this is how God's kingdom works. The world is constantly telling you, go chase the bag, go get the bag. God's like, chase me and the bag will come after you. Y'all see the difference? Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. The world says, go finesse it, go do this, go do that. God says, follow me, be faithful with what I've given you, and I'll take care of the rest. Be obedient. I love this because this text here in Psalm 128, I want to give us a picture of these different blessings here. It's not an exhaustive list, but it does give us some ideas, some context to the types of blessings that God wants us to experience when we walk in obedience. Number one, when we walk in obedience to God's word, will, and ways, it positions us to experience, number one, write this down, a vocational blessing. Notice what verse 2 says. It says, you will surely eat what your hands have, what? Worked for. You will surely eat what your hands have worked for. Meaning this, if you ain't working, but catch this, not just working hard, because that's the mantra of culture, work hard. Hard work doesn't pays off. Can I be real? Hard work don't always pay off. I worked hard to get A's in certain classes in college. And at best, I got a C. Some of us like, Pastor, that just won't you. I worked hard. But what I've recognized is that yes, working hard is good and it's needed and it is biblical. It's not incorrect, it's just incomplete. Because God doesn't just call us to work harder. He calls us to work higher. And working higher means I'm obeying him and I'm following his lead. I'm not doing it according to my plan. I'm doing it according to his. And the Bible says here, when we work according to God's plan, it leads to this, the Lord's blessing. It says, you will eat what your hands have worked for. This means it has to do with our efforts. It has to do with our work, whether we're paid or non-paid, volunteer or paid. Some of us only work hard and work good when we paid. But what if God is calling you in this season to be obedient and to work for nothing? Pastor, you telling me to quit my job? No. What I'm trying to help us understand, if the motivation behind my work is just money, I'm missing it. Because that makes me no different than somebody who doesn't know Jesus at all. That makes me no different than culture. Whereas if I'm working for the kingdom, I do what Colossians 3 says, where whatever I do, whether I work or say something, I do it all for the glory of the Lord. It's different. And sometimes, here's what we oftentimes do sometimes. I'm not talking about you, I'm talking about me. I don't want you to feel bad. We'll ask God to bless our work, but the work that we're doing is not for his name. And it's not in his name. And a lot of times we want God to put his blessing on something that we won't even give his name authority over. But when we work and when we do things his way, when we obey, y'all, there's favor even in my work. So when you are honoring God and doing things his way, he gives you favor with your boss that other people are trying to work hard to get. And people are like, man, why they always get the special treatment? That's not fair. It's called favor. And it's not because you're better than them. It's because you're striving to live a life of obedience to God. And obedience puts you in position to experience things that the average person does not experience. So even on your job, whatever you put your work, your hands to, ministry, speaking, working on vehicles, working in the medical field, when you're striving to honor God, there's a grace that rests on you. That's a blessing that works on you, and it blesses you, and it meets your need, and it brings fulfillment. Here's what Proverbs 10:22 says: the Lord's blessing enriches, and he adds no painful effort to it. This is one of my favorite scriptures of all the Bible. The Lord's blessing enriches, and some translations say, and he adds no sorrow to it. He adds no painful effort to it. Doesn't mean that there won't be effort. It's just not painful. And some of us right now are in a season right now where you feel like you're grinding and everything is hard and everything is tough and everything is difficult. Can I submit for your consideration? Maybe we are working outside of the will of God. No amens right now. Okay. Could it be that maybe, I'm not saying this, but maybe I'm not in step with God right now? Because everything should not be a struggle when I'm following him. There will be struggle, but there's always grace for that struggle. And when I walk according to his ways, there is blessing there. And he enriches. And in Psalm 127, verses 1 through 2, if you go back to the previous psalm early, we didn't read it, but in Psalm 127, it says, unless the Lord builds a house, its builders labor over it in vain. Meaning this, y'all, if God ain't at work in your work, it's not worth anything. It won't hold up. But when God, what does this look like? It means I'm planning without praying. You making all these plans, but you ain't talked to the master planner yet. It means when we're striving, but we're not being led by the Spirit. It means when we seek to acquire without God's approval. I want this car. Is that a God thing or a you thing? I want to go spend all this money on this vacation. That sounds good. Is it God? Pastor, I don't think I need to pray about it. But you'll be praying when you're in debt and you can't figure out a way out. Why not consult God on the front end? Versus having to throw up these prayers of desperation on the back end. When I walk according to his ways, it positions me to experience these blessings. And many of us in here think that man, if I get more money, I'll be satisfied. Can I help you understand this? That the highest form of compensation isn't finances, it's fulfillment. That's the highest form of compensation. It's not finances, it's fulfillment. Because there's many people who make a whole lot of money and they're not fulfilled. There's a lot of people who are rich and are miserable. It doesn't mean that if you're rich, you are miserable. But there's a lot of people who have a lot of stuff, but they don't have none of the Spirit. And what God wants us to walk in is he wants us to walk in this measure of obedience so that way we can experience his blessings. Y'all all right? Y'all real tight today? I'm trying to help us to level up. Because we said that this is the year of release. And if we want to experience a release of some things in our life, well, that means we got to get in alignment with God. Because when I'm aligned with God, it not only leads to vocational blessing, but it also leads to personal blessing. So here's what verse 3 says. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children like young olive trees around your table. Some of us like, Pastor, that's awesome, but I don't have a wife. So what the writer is saying here does not mean anything to me. No, the principle is this. That when you are in alignment with God, he blesses your house. He blesses your personal life. Because it's one thing to be successful in public, but you can be successful in public, but be failing in private. You could be succeeding on the surface, but suffering behind the scenes. And God wants to bless not just one aspect of my life, but every aspect of my life. He doesn't just want you and I to be blessed in our work and in our efforts, but then your whole family's falling apart. No. He wants us to walk in obedience, because when we walk in obedience, y'all, there's a grace and there's a favor and there's a blessing even in our home. And so let me say this. If my home is broken and fractured, what that might speak to is that there might be some misalignment with God. If there's a lack of love at home, and there's a lack of joy at home, and there's a lack of fulfillment at home, and provision at home, and peace at home, it might speak to the fact that I've gotten out of alignment with God. Here's what Joshua 1:8 says. The book of instruction, meaning the word of God, must not depart from your mouth. This is God telling Joshua when he's getting ready to lead his people. He says, don't let this book depart from your mouth. You are to meditate on it, what? Day and night, so that you may carefully observe everything, that's obedience, written in it, for then you will prosper, there's that word again, some of us are allergic to it, and succeed in whatever. I looked up whatever in a lot of languages. You know what it means? Whatever. Whatever you do, you will. Here's what God is saying. If you do it my way, you don't have to go chase success. Success will happen for you. Because when you are walking according to my ways, favor now works on your behalf. This is why for some of us in here, y'all, I am a living testimony. There are certain things that I've seen happen in my own life, and I'm like, there's no reason in the world I should have that or should have been able to do that. I wasn't the smartest. I wasn't the most gifted. I didn't have the most resources. The only thing I can attribute it to is the favor of God. Obedience will get you in doors, y'all, that a great resume cannot. He says you will be successful in everything you do. So in my personal life, when I'm walking in obedience, God's favor is seen. I don't want to just be winning at work. I want to be winning at home. You could be winning in the classroom as a student, but losing behind closed doors. But when we're walking with God, in my life, there will be God's favor, and it will be seen. Can you write this down? True success doesn't come by doing what culture says. It comes by doing what God says. True success doesn't come by doing what culture says, but by doing what Scripture says. I can't do it culture's way. I can't do it what mama says. I can't do what daddy says. They might mean well, but if it don't line up with what Jesus says, I can't follow that. I gotta follow what God has said, because God's way leads to success and blessings. Tell the person beside you, do it God's way. I gotta do it his way. And I'm gonna mess with some of us in here. I'm trying not to make eye contact with us right now. I'm just gonna scan the room, but I feel like God's speaking to some of you. There are some things right now that God's speaking in your heart, and you've been avoiding it, and you haven't been doing it for years, and it's the very thing that would unlock the very thing you've been praying and asking God to do for a long time. Some of us have been praying for a spouse, right? God, would you send somebody? He says, hey, first, forgive this person for what they did to you. Forgive the last person for how they broke your heart. Oh, it's too painful to do. But that's the key that might unlock maybe what God has next. And some of us are here today, and there's some things that God has placed in your heart. There are some ideas and some dreams that God has placed in some of your hearts. And you've been sitting on it for years. And you justified it. I don't got time. You've had years. I could see I'm messing now. God has put some things in our heart and in our mind. He's put dreams. He's put vision. For some of you, you've been struggling financially, and God's like, hey, I put the dream in your heart that's actually going to sustain you and your family. But out of fear, you're staying where you are. But he says, if you will be obedient, though, it'll unlock some stuff. If you, y'all not gonna talk to me now, y'all getting quiet now. If you'll be obedient, right? This is production team, follow me with the camera. This is how some of us are living right here, right? Like, on the other side of this door, there's so much abundance that God has for us, right? And we fighting with it, and we trying to get through, and God's like, yo, you got the wrong key. Just obey me. And you in here trying to fight the door and probe it down and run your shoulder. Some of us are hurting ourselves because of our disobedience. You in here running your whole body into the door and all this and trying to bang it down and knock it down. And God says, it will open if you just be obedient. Because obedience will open up some things for you that you've been thinking your work would do on its own. Just obey. Which now leads to this, there's a communal blessing that we see here in this text. That when we're walking in God's favor, and when we're being obedient to what God has called us to do, here's what the Bible says in verse 5. May the Lord bless you from Zion so that you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. In the Old Testament, Zion was a name that was used to describe the city of Jerusalem, which is where the people, God's people, would gather and travel to worship corporately. In the New Testament, for us, that's the church. That's the body of Christ. The church, the people, not a building, but the people, the body of Christ, the community of God. And here's what the Bible is saying. It says, may the Lord bless you from Zion so that you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. Here's what this is helping us to see, that there are certain blessings that you and I only experience by being connected to community. Part of my obedience is making sure that I'm where and with who I'm supposed to be with. Some of our lives have been dragged down because we were connected to the wrong people. And part of the obedience that God wants us to walk in is to be around the people that He's called us to be. Walking in obedience means being connected to His people, which is where I can experience blessing, family. In community, you are covered in prayer. In community, you can be encouraged. In community, you can be strengthened. In community, you can be ministered to. In community, you can be supported. In community, you can even be corrected, not for your bad, but ultimately for your good. There are some blessings that God only has for us within community. And I believe this is why the enemy does everything he can to keep you and I from being connected to the church. Because he knows that there's power and provision with the people. The presence of God resides with the people of God. And within the presence of God, there's provision from God. I can't tell you how many times people have walked through these doors and got connected with one another, and a need that somebody had was all of a sudden met through somebody else that had what they needed. Simply because they made a decision to get connected. Matter of fact, that's some of your stories and your testimonies here, that since you started coming to the Bridge Church, your life has changed, and you've been encouraged, and you've been strengthened, and you found life-giving relationships, and you found life-giving people that are here to cheer you on and to grieve with you when you're grieving and to mourn with you when you are mourning. Thank God for the community of God and the people of God. This is why here at our church we have what we call our connect groups. Sundays are good, but Sundays ain't enough. This is why we've been talking about connect groups. You need to get in the connect group. I want to encourage you, after today, go online to the website, find a group to join. You need to be in community. Pastor, how do you know blessing is found in community? Because the Bible says it. Because in Psalm 133, verse 1, it says how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. And in verse 4, says it like this. Can we pull it up on the screen? It says this: for there the Lord bestows his blessing. It is in community where God's blessing resides. It is in community where God's favor resides. It is in community where God opens doors. It's in community where God commands his blessing. There are certain things that you and I don't experience apart from community. I want you to understand this, family. You need the person sitting next to you more than you recognize. There's certain things that you might not experience except it being connected to other people. Here's what Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says. Let us consider one another in order to provoke love and good works, and not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching. He says, don't neglect gathering together as a church. This is why we have men's night. This is why we have connect groups. Because, y'all, there's power in connectivity. There's a blessing in connectivity. There was a story of somebody, a lady who attends our church, and she and her husband came to our newcomers connection a few months back, and she sent me this message a few days ago. She said, Pastor, I got to share this incredible testimony, because if you remember when I came to the newcomers connection, you and a few of the other leaders, you prayed for my husband who is having some serious medical conditions and needed a transplant of a vital organ. And he was on a list for some time. And they started to kind of lose some faith and hope. But then she said, but early this week, we got a call from the doctor saying that there's a perfect match. And watch this, it's found with somebody in our family. And so she said, I just want to let you know thank y'all so much for praying for us back after service that one day that God would open up the door, because clearly heaven heard our prayers. I'm here to let you know, family, that when we're connected to community, blessing is right there. Blessing is available. There's a blessing, write this down, in belonging. There's a blessing in belonging. The enemy is going to try to do everything he can to keep you from his people, to keep you from gathering. Some of y'all, you went through crazy stuff to get to church today. Some of y'all fought feelings of fatigue, sickness. You're watching online. Some of you right now didn't even feel like turning on the stream. And I believe within that is not just natural stuff, but it's also spiritual stuff, that the enemy was trying to use that stuff to keep you from being tapped in. But I'm here to let you know it did not work, because you're here today. And because you are here today, God has something that he wants you to experience. It's favor. It's blessings. But not only that, I'm going to close with this. There's not just communal blessing, but there's also, as the text says, generational blessing. Because the Bible says, you will see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life and will see your children's children. Can I help you understand something? When you obey God, it doesn't just bless you. It's a blessing to other people. When we follow God, it doesn't just impact us. It impacts others around us. And the writer here helps us to see that this life of obedience, it doesn't just impact our generation, but it impacts future generation. Our faithfulness to God, it sets a foundation for others who are close to us. I would not be here if it wasn't for my mother laying a spiritual foundation for me. My mother would not be where she was to lay a spiritual foundation for me had a friend of hers not invited her to a church some years ago to help introduce her to Jesus. And on it went. I'm here to let us know that one act of obedience can literally change the trajectory of a generation. I'm here to let you know today, big shout out to all the fathers in here today, because as a dad, you are here today and you're watching online and you made a decision that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to lay a spiritual foundation for my kids to follow and for my wife to follow and for my family to follow. That act of obedience won't just bless now, it'll bless later. I want you to understand something, man. When we walk in obedience to God, it doesn't just bless us, it blesses others. Here's what Psalm 37, verse 25 says. I have been young, and now I am old, yet I have not seen the righteous abandoned or his children begging for bread. Can I help you understand something? Your obedience to God almost essentially serves as a protection and a provider for your family. That other people are eating off your obedience. It's bigger than you. God wants to bless others through you. God makes a difference, not just for us, but through us. Can I help us understand something about these blessings that God wants to give you? They're not just for you. They're for others around you. He doesn't just want to get a blessing to you. He wants to give blessings through you. He wants to give blessings to your family through you. He wants to bless others around you through you. I want you to know this, family, that your obedience, it doesn't just set you up for success. It sets others up for success. And then most of all, in this last verse, it says this, peace be with Israel. I love this, y'all, because as I close with this thought, when I look at that word peace, it's like, okay, on the surface, that doesn't look like a blessing. But then God reminded me, no, it's one of the greatest blessings that you could experience because it's spiritual in nature. You can't see peace. You can't go to Walgreens and buy peace. You can't go to Target and buy peace. Peace is only something that God gives. And can I let you know something about his peace? He is the Prince of Peace. And that gift never runs out. And that blessing never runs out. When we obey and when we align ourselves with him, it positions us to experience his peace, as the scripture says, that surpasses all understanding. Paul says this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. He says, blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us, read this together, with every spiritual blessing. Can I let you know this? You are more rich than you recognize, because God has given you every spiritual blessing. Pastor, what are the spiritual blessings? Peace, love, joy, faithfulness, gentleness, satisfaction, fulfillment. These are things that you can't get from culture. You only get them from God. And when you and I obey God, it positions us to experience His peace. What am I saying here today? Here's what I want you to know. If you want a life of blessing, it starts with living a life of obedience. And can I let you know this? God wants to bless you more than you recognize. How I see God is He has this whole stash of blessings that He is waiting to dump out over your life. He says, man, if you just come here with the right key, bro, if you just follow me, I got you. If you just obey me, I got you. Which means this, I want you to write this down. A life of obedience to God leads to a life of blessings from God. That's my sermon in a sentence today. A life of obedience to God leads to a life of blessings from God. I'm not telling you something that's just made up. I'm telling you what I know. Because that there's been certain blessings that I'm walking in today. That's not because I'm good, it's because God is good. And just simply deciding to follow Him. Simply deciding to do it His way. And some of us right now are praying for things that obedience to God would simply get us. God, would you open up this door? He says, the key to that open door is your obedience. The key to walking in the blessing is by being obedient. And one of the things that I love about our God is He gives us many blueprints to experiencing His blessings in the scripture. And they all come back to this one word, obedience. Jesus says in John 15, if you abide in me and I in you, meaning this, if you rest in me, you follow me. He says your life will be fruitful. You'll bear much fruit. He says apart from me, you can do nothing. Savage Jesus. Apart from me, you ain't going nowhere in life, bro. He says, but with me, I'll take you to higher heights. It's levels to this. Some of us right now are like, man, I'm living the best life I can live. And God is like, you think this is something? I got more for you. And the key to unlocking that is obedience. Some of us are in here like, I'm living the worst life ever. And God's like, I got something for you too. You know what the key is to experience it? Obedience. Obedience. May we be a people who say, not my will, let yours be done. May we be the type of people who say, God, I'm going to follow your will. And I just want to ask this question. Is there anybody here today that says, God, I want the best that you have for me? I want the blessings that you have for me. I want to experience the abundance that you have for me. I just want to know, is there anybody here today that says, I want everything that God has for me? I don't want to settle any longer. No. I don't want to struggle if I don't have to struggle. No. I want His blessing. Come on, somebody. Is there anybody here today that wants God's best for your life? You want His favor to rest on your life? You want His blessings to rest on your life? Jesus' words to His disciples when He first, follow me. Just follow. Your life would be so much better if you would just follow Jesus. Your marriage and your health would be so much better if you just obey. It doesn't mean that life will be perfect. Because remember in the scripture, it says your life will be like a fruitful vine where even vines have thorns and thistles. So there might be some pain. But what that vine is producing is much greater than the pain that's being experienced. So my obedience to God, it does not protect me from all pain, but it gives me grace to be able to move through life in the spite of the pain. This is the year of release, which means obedience. That's what He's calling us to. I'm going to invite us to stand to our feet. Can I ask you this simple question? Where do you need to obey God more? Where? Can I say this again as we said earlier? Because I've done this. When we don't obey God, it leads to a downward spiral in everything. If you look in the scriptures, when people didn't obey God, it led to destruction. Jonah, prophet of God, God told Jonah, go to Nineveh, go preach to the people so that way they can experience salvation. Jonah's like, nah, man, I'm not. And the Bible says he ran the opposite direction. And here's what's crazy. The place that God called him to was actually closer to where he was. He went out of his way to not obey. And the Bible says, if you notice Jonah 1:2, it keeps using the word down, and Jonah went down. He went down into the water. He went down into the fish. He went down beneath the deck. Here's what I want you to understand. When we decide that we're going to be disobedient, it leads to a down spiral in our life. But when we obey, it leads to fruitfulness, not just for us, because when Jonah obeyed God and went to Nineveh and preached, the whole nation came to faith. Can I help you understand something, family? The more you run from God, the more you disobey God, it doesn't end well for you and I. It leads to destruction. But my God, if you say, not my will, but let yours be done, God, I'm going to do it your way, God. I'm going to be faithful, God. I'm going to be trustworthy, God. I'm going to love, God. I'm going to forgive, God. I'm going to be patient, God. I'm going to line my life up with your word. I'm going to do marriage your way. I'm going to be a student your way. I'm going to forgive your way, God. I'm going to do it your way. It leads to blessings and prosperity. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, I just want to ask you this question again. I just want you to raise your hand if this is you. If you want God's best for your life and you want to walk in his blessings over your life, your family, your work, your vocation, your finances, your health, whatever it is, if you want his blessings, could you just lift up your hand? I just want to see you. I just want to know who I'm about to pray for. God, I want your best in my life. I want your blessings. Father, for every hand lifted, may they be obedient. Give them the strength, even when the enemy tries to tempt them to go the other way. Help them to distinguish between what's good and what's God. Help them to be obedient and follow your way, to not do their will, but to do yours. In Jesus' name.